Welcome to Table Talks with Kay Woodward. Married for more than 43 years, Kay and her husband Galen have three married sons, nine grandchildren, and are longtime pastors in Albuquerque, New Mexico. With the recent release of her new cookbook, which is filled with treasured recipes and stories, she's excited to bring you into her world of faith and family. So, take a seat at the table with Kay as she welcomes special guests from varied backgrounds and stages of life to dive into relevant and important topics of today. Please enjoy today's episode.
Welcome to today's episode of Table Talks. My guest is Noelle Yates. She's the president of World Help, which is a Christian humanitarian organization founded in 1991. She's an amazing author, a fantastic speaker. She's married and she has two adult sons. I can't wait for you to hear this podcast. Hey, Noelle, I'm so glad that we are finally together. We've been trying to do this for several months, and finally, you're home from another country for an hour to be. So welcome to Table Talks. And I'm just thrilled that you're here with me today.
Thank you, Kay. I am so honored to be on there and talk to you. I love your family and just excited for today.
I'm thrilled. And so we first met, I don't know, I have this memory that's crazy. I can't remember yesterday, but I know everything from 10 years ago and 50. But we met at a Leading and Loving It conference first at a dinner with Julie Richard and Lisa Hughes and Lori Wilhite. And I don't know how I got invited. I think because I'm friends with Julie, but We went to dinner and just listening to you talk. And then our church had you come in. We talked in 2020. And then, of course, my daughters-in-law, so Mandy and Delaney, so they're both ministry. They're in ministry. They're pastors. And Mandy got to go to Thailand with you, and Delaney got to go to Eastern Europe. We were just talking before we started recording that it was to help with Ukraine refugees, but to see the need, right? Love to take people over to see the need so that it gets inside our heart and we can tell thousands of other people. You can't do it by yourself.
That's right. And those were both incredible experiences. You really get to know people on trips like that. So having that time with both Mandy and Delaney was so special and really made me appreciate your family even more and just the incredible work you guys are doing.
I feel, and they shared the passion for those countries so well with us, even back at our church at Citizen and also Delaney for Union City. But and I have the privilege, when you were here in 2020 and you talked about Thailand, and then I started being able to sponsor, my husband and I sponsoring one of the girls in Thailand. And then our Flourish Sisterhood has, taken up a huge offering. We talked about it the other night at our Flourish Sisterhood to, help the girls that are, caught up in sexual slavery. So it's just, we have a connection. We haven't seen each other in, four and a half
while.
Years, but we have this connection through the heart of helping others, which I don't live it like you, but I truly feel the passion. So in talking about it today, I'm so excited because I feel like this generation, Gen Z, and also the Gen Alpha's coming up, but they're so cause oriented, they're looking for something, someone to help, something to do. And I just want to show people that there, you can help, and that there's a need and don't let the need paralyze you. So we're going to talk about that some today. And you've dedicated your whole life. So you're president of World Help, which is a huge organization, and your daddy founded it. And he turned it over to you. And I just love your books. You've also authored two books, Both and Awake. And I love when you tell the story about going with your daddy when you were young on missions trips. So just, can you give us just a start, like, tell us a little bit about you and your mission journey of, how you got started?
Yeah. So I'm a ministry kid. I grew up in ministry. My dad growing up was an evangelist and we were part of a revival ministry. And so we literally lived in an Airstream trailer way before that was trendy to do that. And we were on church parking lots for like a week at a time for revival ministry. And most of my young life, I was in church every night. So I really grew up in ministry. I grew up around missions. But when I was in college, my dad started World Help. And even before World Help started, he started to take me on missions trips when I was probably the first one was about, I was about 12 years old. And I tell people it was the best gift he could have ever given me because it really exposed me to the needs of the world at such a young age. And it was on some of those early trips. One of the earliest one was to the country of Brazil. And God just used a real special moment. I would probably call it a defining moment in my life that really set the tone for where, for my passions and how God would use me. But it was meeting a street child in Rio. And I'll try to tell you the short version, but we were there with a college group and my dad was leading that college group at the time. And we had set up singing Christian music in Portuguese to sort of draw a crowd. And my sister and I were the youngest ones in the group. And so we would mingle through the crowd and pass out tracts at the time. And as we were doing that, we stumbled across this little boy. He's about 5 years old, no shoes, just wearing a torn pair of underwear. And we found out he was a street child. And at the time, he was like one of the hundreds of thousands of street children in Brazil. But we fell in love with him. And we went and asked my dad for some money. And we took him to get some new clothes and bought him a McDonald's Happy Meal and washed him off. And the part of the story I tell people is I remember taking him to the bathroom and sitting him up on the counter and washing his feet before we put his new shoes on and seeing that his feet were almost deformed from walking the streets his whole life without shoes. And when I put those shoes on his feet, he stuck his foot out and over again in Portuguese said, "Shoes, shoes, shoes." He was just so excited to have this pair of shoes. And it was the 80s. So it was like a bright yellow jogging suit and white Nike tennis shoes that we bought him. And we never really thought like, what are we going to do at the end of the day? We were just in the moment. So the end of the day came, our group had to leave and we had to leave him there on the side of the road in his new clothes, just waving goodbye. His name was Nildo, and it broke our hearts. And so the whole way back to the hotel, the whole bus is like trying to figure out what we can do. My dad finds a Christian children's home nearby that's willing to take him in. And we take a collection with the group and a pastor that's somebody just took their hat off their head and passed it around. These are college students, like nobody had any money. But while we're doing that, a pastor that was working with us kind of leans over and says, "Why are you guys going to all this trouble? Like, do you know how many street children there are in the country of Brazil? There is no way that you can make a difference for all." And he was a nice, like, well-meaning man. And I think in the moment, it didn't really hit me at that young age. But as I've gotten older and looked back on that moment, I realized he was right. Like, I couldn't help all the street children in Brazil, but in that moment, that's not what God was asking me to do. In that moment, God had put one little boy in front of me and I could make a difference for him. And when the hat was done being passed around, there was about, I forget, like $800, enough to send him for 2 years at this program. And anyways, the story goes on. We were able to keep in touch with him. He became a Christ follower. He ended up helping kids just like him. And I think the defining moment for me is that I always go back to that quote from Mother Teresa that says, if I look at the masses, I will never act. But if I look at the one, I will. And I think so often with the needs of the world, we get overwhelmed. And it's so much easier to just say it's too big. I'm a drop in the bucket. There's nothing we can do. When I think God calls us to help the one person, to do the one thing that we can do. And Nildo at that really formative young age taught me to see the one. And I think everything I've done since then has been built on that principle.
That's such a beautiful story. When I read that in the book, I mean, I feel that on every level. And I also feel that I should have put a tissue beside me as we're filming this, because I'm already, I said to you before we started recording, and those that are listening, I've listened to both of these books on audio. You can do that on Amazon or however you listen to books, and I bought them both. But listening sometimes, and I've been around, you know, the idea of helping people outside of my family for my whole life, but it was so much that I would have to put the book down and let God talk to me a little bit.
Yeah.
Open to read again, because I told everyone the same thing as I was reading your books again, that I needed to see how that applied to me. So I'd read a little bit and think, how can I be a part of this? How do I really feel about that? Would I say that, or do I say it and believe it? Do I believe it enough to put money behind it? Do I believe it enough to go? Do I believe it enough to, you know, you got your hands dirty to wash that, you know, little child's feet. And so all those things, but I want listeners and people that might be watching this podcast to go through the rest of this episode together thinking, okay, God, I'm not going to just tune this out and think this is for someone else,
right? But
this is for me. So what am I called to do? And that's what we're, you know, that's where we're headed with this. And you've dedicated again, then now the whole, your whole adult life to being a part of global endeavors and world help. And you serve others so tirelessly and faithfully. I just, and they can follow you on social media. People can follow you on social media too, because that's what I do to keep up with you. And it keeps it fresh and in front of me. So I can't just push you away and say, I don't want to hear that today, you know? And so you kind of alluded to this a minute ago, but you mentioned there's a couple of topics. There's several, but the first two I want to talk about, and we will get to I have an agenda here. But you talk about in your book Awake that can you kind of just talked about that with the little young boy on the side of the road? That is that all it takes? Because I have been so overwhelmed with hungry people and hurting people and people in our city, but people outside our city and the whole thing, that sometimes I think, oh, is it worth that? I mean, I'm going to help five people or one person. And then that's not even a dent. And so what do we do? And I went back and read that all over again, but I want, you know, you just talk a little bit about that, but I know that is that all it takes, is that the focus on the idea that just small actions can be enough. Small actions. Right. You know, I only sponsor one girl in Thailand, but that girl is taken care of. Right. So that's good. So tell me a little bit about that. You spent a lot of time talking about that in the book.
Right. And let me talk about your sponsor girl, and then I'll answer that question. You're sponsoring one girl, but that means that girl will grow up and not be put in the sex industry, and her daughters will not, and their daughters and their daughters. And you're ending that vicious cycle. And so the impact of you helping that one daughter or that one girl is incredible when you look at it that way. But the is that all it takes comes from a quick story of my young son walking in while I was working on a work video for water. And I think at the time it may have said like every $15 or whatever the amount provides clean water for one person. And I didn't even think he was paying attention. And he's like, Mom, is that all it takes? Is that all it takes to make a difference? And again, seeing it through a child's eyes, you know, and he wanted to run to his piggy bank because he could get his arms around that, you know? And I think we do forget that how easy it is to make a difference, again, because we get overwhelmed. I also think part of it comes from, and I think we'll get to this more about my thoughts on missions and the word mission, but we tend to have a bit of a savior complex, that it is my job to save the world. And then it does become very overwhelming. But when you remember that it's not my job to save the world, it's God's job to save the world. It's my job to play the part that God has asked me to play and help the people he's put in my life. And what I love about World Help is that one of the things I love about World Help is we take these big global problems and break them down into ways that every person can get involved, whether it's what you're doing, providing child sponsorship and helping one child, providing clean water for one person, helping one refugee mom survive another day. There are so many ways to make a difference and to not be overwhelmed by the needs.
I love it. I have your book in front of me, so people are just listening, but I highlighted some things because it's all, obviously, it's inside of you, so you wrote about it. But, and you said, we go to the ends of the earth, not because we believe we are the heroes and not because God needs us to accomplish his work, but because it is an expression of the faith we say we take so seriously. So that's why I could not read your books and talk. I was so glad I was already sponsoring from World Health, because I thought I would feel so, I mean, I would feel like I hadn't done my part, but that is huge. And you said, we will seek justice and healing and restoration of the world because, as children of God, we ourselves have been justified, healed, and restored. So we're taking the hope of Christ. Let's just go ahead, because I'm going to talk about something else. But let's just talk about you also. I love you just say it like it is in your books, and you don't paint it with pastel colors and, you know, flower petals all around it. You just say it like it is because the need is so great. But you start out talking about in the book, about the word missions. So let's just go there and then we'll finish up.
So I think the point that I make on missions is I wrote it, part of it ended up in the book, but I wrote this piece really for me a few years back called The End of Missions. And it sort of just poured out of me one day when I was on a trip to Guatemala. I was sort of evaluating my life's work and all the years I've been in this and seeing the needs. And it literally just poured out of me. And I was typing as fast as I could on my phone. And some of the words that came out were, I'm on a mission to end missions. And which sounds very harsh, especially when you lead a mission organization. But as I processed through some of that, I realized that I just didn't like what missions had become or the perception of missions. And the subtitle of my book is Living Beyond the Either Or of Your Faith. And what I felt had happened to missions is it had become more about just the saving of souls and forgetting the needs of the body and pitting those two things against each other, that one is humanitarianism and, you know, one is more spiritual than that. And I didn't like that. And it didn't look like the missions I was experiencing and the impact that I was seeing all over the world. This, that, you know, loving your neighbors is just a mission trip you take once a year, and that what's actually more important is the number of salvations and souls saved. And the truth is, I believe the power is found in both. Missions to me is more than whether you're interested in traveling, whether you enjoy other cultures. It's more than the trip you may choose to take once a year. It's more than the missions emphasis week you may have at your church, although that is wonderful. But all of those things are choices and checks that we can put into boxes instead of the expression of the faith that we say we take so seriously. And as people of faith and as Christ followers, if we believe what we say we believe, then this is not a choice. This is simply how we should live every day. And does it express itself differently in each person? Absolutely. But it's not a choice we have to be interested in it or not. And so that's really where all this started. But I think in order to really understand it, you have to understand what World Health is all about. And so what we say is that it's help for today and hope for tomorrow. And what we mean by that is that we believe without clean water and medicines and food and clothing that our bodies need, well, then faith means very little to people in need. But without the faith that really feeds our souls, then all of those other things become a short-term fix. But when you focus on both, body and soul, that's when true transformation happens in people's lives. And that's what we mean by help and hope, meeting the physical and the spiritual. And what I love about that, that speaks to both the help and hope and also to what missions should really be about, is it's what Jesus taught us. And I think the when I try to explain this help and hope concept, the best example I can give people is found, it's the story found in Mark that we're all familiar with, the woman with the bleeding disorder. She had suffered for more than 12 years. She's desperate for healing. She reaches out just to touch Jesus, afraid she's going to be rebuked. And instead of rebuking her, he gives her a blessing. And he says, "Go with peace in your heart and free from your suffering." Peace in your heart, free from your suffering. And to me, that's the best definition of help and hope. He met her very real physical need, but he also gave her that hope of peace in her heart. And so to me, that's the beauty of help and hope and what true missions should look like wherever we're called.
I love that because, you know, and that's the whole, that's why your book is titled Both, because so many times people want to do the philanthropic thing. They get moved, but it's just a humanitarian effort, which is, that's a step in the right direction, but to offer both, to offer, we're going to come in and use maybe quite probably use the, your, something we can do for you. That's day-to-day help, whether it's medicine or water or clothes or eye exams or whatever it is. And then we have earned the trust to be able to talk about Jesus. We're going to show you Jesus before we tell you Jesus a lot of the times. And that's not how it's always been.
Right.
The mission world, it was just tent revivals, which they still, you know, people became Christians, which is great. But I love now that, you know, if you really do your research and organizations like World Help, that you're not just, it's not just a one shot, you know, thing, one stop shopping. You're going to go in and help, but you're making sure that when your team pulls out, when you leave, it's still having an effect. They're still being taken care of. And you have boots on the ground in all these countries where World Help assist. You have people there that you have trust and missionaries and people there, people that are with the organization that make sure the finances and funds are used appropriately. So it has all the, you know, the checks and balances to make sure that people are you know, being taken care of. Just like Mandy told me, the lady, the woman that's was on the ground in Thailand, they were just what she given her life to be there. Yeah. These girls that are already in, you know, sex slavery and helping them try to find, you know, help and hope and future. Just so I want people to hear that, you know, there are organizations out there that you don't know where all the money's going. You don't know that it's really doing what you say. And I love that when that money just comes out of my bank account every month to World Help, that my sponsor girl is getting taken care of and it's going to what I said it was going to go to. So I want to really stress that organizations that are tried and proven. And there are many, but there are also some that I just wouldn't. You know, give my money to just because you need to know.
Well, and if, you know, there are lots of people that are doing it right and lots of people that do understand this concept that I write about in the book, but I'm constantly surprised at the people who don't or that push back. Why do you focus so much on the humanitarian side? Are you giving them a Bible when you do that? Why do you only give them Bibles? Are you giving them food? So there's people coming both sides of the issue with different expectations. And a couple things that come to mind, there's this quote from an African head of state. And he said something to the effect of, you can't do healthcare to dead people. You can't educate dead people. You can't evangelize dead people. You have to have them alive first. And just really the practicalness of that. And then another one of our partners said something profound. He said, hunger has no religion. And, you know, I just think that's so true in our work that when people are hungry, you know, how can you share the gospel with them if you're not willing to feed them as well? And I think both of those hungers, both the spiritual hunger and the physical hunger, matter to God, and they should matter to us.
And you do speak so much in the books, and I remember exactly which one, and probably both, but that, you know, we start, the concern is for our area, just like the Bible talks to us, where we live, and then we venture out. But I feel like that is a both. It can't just be I do humanitarian efforts here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, but that I've got to think there's a world. So it's, I really try hard to do that, you know, and our church is so good about that. But we do so many things for our city and our state, but at the same time, not instead of, or when we're finished with that, but at the same time, we're helping countries all over the world and endeavors, and we've committed long-term. So right. We're not just a shot in the dark. We've committed long-term years to organizations. So I think that it's all of it. And which leads me to my next point. Another thing you said in the book Awake is you talked about the ripple effect. And, you tell a story with that and it sounds so easy, like, oh, well, I know that, but we don't know it, or everyone would be throwing one stone into the pond. So can you talk about that a little bit? Because those were just really important to me as I pondered my own, thoughts on people in the world and who I needed to be helping and how could I help?
Yeah. So you mean like the ripple effect of what your gift does? Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, what we said a few minutes ago, I think is one of the best examples of what you're doing, helping the girl in Thailand. That's a great example of the ripple effect of your gift. You know, again, when you give a gift of clean water, you're providing that clean water for years to come. And you're also giving them the living water at the same time that will never grow old, never be dirty, never run out. You're introducing them to that. So I think there's so many impactful ways and these ways to give that live beyond us. And I think specifically, what we've already talked about in the area of trafficking is a great example because you're ending that cycle. But I would also say just with poverty in general. So one of the phrases I like to use when it comes to the children we're helping in that area is we're interrupting their life with freedom. And by stepping into their lives and interrupting their lives with freedom, that means they'll never have to go into the sex industry at all. We are stopping it before it even happens. And so they now have a chance at an education. They now have a chance to get a job. They now have a chance to support their own family. They will be introduced to the gospel. They will grow up to be the leaders of their country. And that's how we begin to change things from the inside out. And we see complete cultures change because of this investment. So I think that's a great example of the ripple effect we have by interrupting lives with freedom.
It sounds so simple. It really is that simple. It is that simple that we do, you know, the one thing. And you give so many examples in your books. You tell story after story after story because you put a real life to the point you're making, which I think is so important that we understand that these are real human beings who just happen to be born somewhere else or happen to be born to a family that they don't have what they need. You know, we were fortunate enough, blessed enough. God saw fit. I don't understand it all, but why I was born where I was born, but that I have means to be able to make that lasting difference. And again, you tell so many stories. You also, just a moment ago, you almost said there's one of your bios. I thought I had written one. I might have months ago when we were going to do this, but your bio said something to the effect that what you wanted to leave, I had the wording written down, but why you wanted to do this, you wanted to make, it was a lasting impact, but the verbiage was so good about leave something that would live beyond you. I feel like it was just
that is my dad's, basically his life statement of every day. I want to accomplish at least one thing that will outlive me and last for eternity.
That's exactly what that said in that bio.
Yep. And so it's on the wall of World Health, but it's the phrase my dad has used for years and really how he lives his life. And in a way, something we all can adopt. of we all can do one thing some each day. You know, loving on your grandkids is something that's going to outlive you and last for eternity. Helping a neighbor in need is something that's going to outlive you and last for eternity. And reaching around the world to sponsor that little girl is going to outlive you and last for eternity.
I love, we're able to sponsor several. So we have a sponsor child in Chihuahua, Mexico, for their after school care, and a sponsor elder, an old person in Haiti. And that is dear to me. I had the privilege to go there and sit at her feet and wash her feet like you did that little boy and bless. And it was just, it's life changing. But I think that I've been asking God, this has really been on my heart, just in my own world, that my everyday life. I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico. God, what is it today? Who do you want me to meet today? I'm so in my bubble. I've got this laptop in front of me. I'm writing, I'm doing spiritual things, but yeah. Look around me and say, where's my God moment today? Where? Yeah. God, I know you have one for me because the word of God tells me that. So am I going to slow down just a minute to find the God moment for the day? Is it so? What you said is so powerful and resonates with me because I've really been asking God, and I'm going to speak about that real soon. Next time I get a chance on, we're not necessarily in the, you know, we say right place at the right time, but God ordains the moments. He ordains our steps. Now, do we take it in? So I can get an email about a need in the world somewhere, and I can delete that before I even read it. I can, like you said, try to check the box for missions because I gave to the offering to send the people to, you know, Kenya. But what is it God specifically has for me? And if I'll just listen for a minute, just be still. It's not like this. Right. It's not even that hard. But yeah. You know, I have a friend who says, we're just one action or one question or one statement away from a breakthrough for either someone or my own self. And are we willing to take a moment to find out what that is and to ask right. the question, write the check?
Yeah.
It's not write check, but...
Yeah. And one of the things that's coming to mind as you're saying that, because I think we are living in a time that is just overwhelming. I think I write about in the book, you know, it was right around the time of the war in Ukraine and everything that was going on in Afghanistan. It just seemed like one crisis after another. And I remember like sitting there watching the news, and we all remember those images on TV coming out of Afghanistan of people grasping to the wheels of the plane as the planes were coming off. And I just hit my limit. And I was like whispering under my breath, Jesus, come quickly. This is all just too much. So I think it's that's an honest and an okay feeling in the world that we're living in. But I think the danger is a phrase that I hear a lot of people of faith use, I've used it plenty of times, is in those moments of overwhelm or where it all just feels too much, we say things like, you know, we have to remember this is not our home. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. It's true. But I think the message it inadvertently sends to people in need is your pain and suffering is not my problem, because after all, I have heaven to look forward to. You know, and I think that although this is not my forever home, it's my home right now. Mm-hmm. And God has called us to do that work now, like not in the future, to bring his kingdom to life here, you know, to see people's needs met, to show them the love of God in the here and now. And so I think it's just part of that tension of being a believer of not, I think when we get overwhelmed by those needs, it's going back to what I said before, we're confusing what our job is. Mm-hmm. And if we're overwhelmed, then we're trying to make saving the world our responsibility and not God's. But if we get back into the lane that God has for us, there are so many ways we can make a difference.
Which let's just talk about that as we're wrapping up. I, you know, 40 minutes goes by really fast. We have like 6 more minutes. It's crazy because I get just so into the topics. But practical, tangible steps, because I feel like today you can take action. Someone can take action right now today and start feeling like that they're making a difference immediately. So through World Help, I mean, that's your baby. And we've been partnered with World Help since the beginning of the pandemic. So going on 5 years. And so we really feel confident in you and your organization and your team. So give us some practical steps that we can make a difference today.
Yeah. I think one of the most practical things you've already talked about, and that is child sponsorship. And I just got back from Africa, and that's a place we've been working for 25 plus years. And we've been working there long enough and involved in child sponsorship long enough that I'm seeing the other side of hope, what I like to say, that I'm seeing those kids that grew up in our program and the difference it has made in their life and what they're able to do with their lives. And the whole trip was just story after story of, I was in the program and here's what I'm doing. And now I'm a doctor and now I'm a nurse and now I'm a teacher. And there's no better way to impact a life than through child sponsorship. And I know for a lot of people, they've heard about it. Maybe they've heard about it so much that they just don't even think about it anymore. But it is one of the best ways to change someone's life and the easiest next step to get involved. If you have a family, if you have young kids, there is no better way to teach your kids about the world and about giving back than to have children like you've picked out that you're sponsoring around the world, and you can share their story. You can pray for them. You can write them letters. You can send them gifts. So I think as a best next step, that would be it. I would love for everyone to learn more about World Help, and there's plenty of other ways, whether it's Bible distribution, church planting, refugees, women empowerment. You know, if there's something that God has placed on your heart, I bet we can connect with you and partner with you on that. But if you're looking just for that next step, I'd recommend child sponsorship.
So honestly, I love automatic withdrawal from a bank account, because what we say at our church is it's obedience that's just automatic. I don't have to think about it. It's just automatic obedience, and I pay my bills that way. So I don't even honestly remember what I give every month to World Help to sponsor a child. So I'm sure it's different in every country. There's a different amount. So if somebody's listening thinking, I don't know if I can afford it, it's not that much. In my personal opinion, it's like 3 coffees.
Yeah.
And it's really not a big deal. Is it
$40 a month. Yeah.
But I mean, it's really not that big a deal. And it's only 2 trips to Chick-fil-A anymore.
Yeah.
But, to just do something, $40. And what does that do? What do you do with, what happens with the child sponsorship money?
So that does look a little different in every country, as you probably know, but the basic things it provides is clothing, food, medical attention, a chance to go to school. In a lot of these countries that we work with, I'm sure you're familiar with, but culturally you have to have a uniform in order to attend school. So even though school might be financially covered, you can't go unless you have a uniform, and your family may not be able to even provide the uniform. So there's things like that, school supplies. And then most of our kids are part of programs where they're hearing about Jesus and just hearing that he has a better plan for their life and that they really have a chance to dream. So every country looks a little different depending on what the needs are. Some of the kids stay with they're with their families and we're able to help them. And some of them are in more of a residential care program where we're able to meet their needs better that way.
I love it. And I know this, you spend your entire life now, your boys are older and you have, more time theoretically than you used to. You're not raising a family at that point, but you spend your entire life finding the need and then trying to find those who can help fill the need. That's just how I see it on your social media. You're going out to these countries when there's a crisis or a war breaks out or something happens or famine or an earthquake. You run to go see what can I do? What can World Help do? Then you have to come to, post about it, send emails. You go to churches, organizations to try to get people on board, to do their part so we can, the one person can really make a difference. And so you mentioned you came here in 2020 when people really weren't traveling. I remember going to dinner and we all had to wear a mask inside to the restaurant because we're in Albuquerque and it was locked down and, all the things. But you mentioned the need of Thailand and needing to have sponsors of these children. So we could stop the vicious cycle, what's happening to girls, especially young girls. And you said, I didn't even remember that, but that you put the need out there and we had over 100 children.
In one day, in one morning, I think over 100, your church sponsored over 100 children. It was amazing.
Yes, I'll do it. I'll do the 40 months. So I'm hoping my prayer would be, I'm tickled to see you on a podcast and get to talk to you live because I haven't seen you in a while. But more than that, I want people, first of all, if you at least hurry up and go on Amazon right now and get the audio books. And it'll be in the description of this podcast. Do that if you don't want to wait for it to come in the mail, but do that too. So you can underline and highlight. But I want them to be, I want this episode to reach people that would say, I want to do it. I want to do it today. So, there's so many ways, but basically you can just go to World Help to your website.
Yep. WorldHelp.net.
Help.net and go on and look for maybe a country or an age you want to sponsor, something like you mentioned that draws you. But my plea would be, don't put it off, because that gentle nudging you're feeling, it's never the enemy, Satan. It's Jesus. It's God saying, do it. The enemy doesn't tell us to give money to little children around the world so that they can have life and life eternal. So follow the nudging of the Holy Spirit to do what it is we can do, because I feel good when I get the emails, when I get emails from organizations that I help and the children that we sponsor. And I feel like it's a small part, but it's a part to the big picture. And I am, if we can do 100 in a morning church service with a couple of thousand people, can you imagine if what we can do, if we would all just do something? And I feel so moved and inspired, and I don't want this to be over for sure. And I took the time and I went, how is that possible? But can you just, pray over people that are listening or watching? Because what I don't want it to be is words that just fall on deaf ears. I want them to fall on ears where people really will, that you'll see. I want you to see an increase. I want World Help to know when this episode airs, if they go, what did you do, Noelle? Where did you see this influx of sponsorships that from out of nowhere? And I just, the world is all of our responsibility. It's all of our responsibility. So would you pray over us, those that are listening, watching it, however you will see it, but we'd love that.
Thank you. God, we just thank you so much for this time today. I thank you for Kay and her family and their willingness to serve you for all of these years and the incredible work that they're doing. And for Kay and this new venture with the podcast, and I just thank you for her taking the time to talk with me today. And God, I just pray for the people that are listening. I pray that that maybe from listening, they would take away a different view on missions, maybe a refreshed view on missions and what that really means and how we are called to love people the way that you taught us to love people, with help and hope. And I pray if someone's listening, I hope that lots of people are listening and thinking and wondering about the next step, that they would consider doing something like Kay and her family have done through child sponsorship and meeting a child right where they are in the middle of their needs, interrupting their lives with freedom, introducing them to the gospel, and giving them a chance at a much brighter future. And God, we just pray over this podcast, that you would lead it to the right people who need to hear it, the right people who are willing to be sponsors. And I pray that Kay and I can come back and celebrate the incredible things you did, all the children around the world that are going to be helped because of these 40 minutes that we have spent together with our yes, just saying yes to what you've called us to do. And I pray that so many people listening will say yes as well. We love you. In your name, amen.
Amen. And I think we're going to be able to give a book or two away that the week that so that this gets ready to air. So I'm excited about that. And when I tell you, and we are closing, but when I tell you, people listening, the difference that the books will make in your life, I truly mean it with all my heart. Get the book, listen to the book. You are a gifted communicator and a gifted writer. You tell a story so beautifully and you make me feel like I was there. And it is quite obviously God's call on your life and your family all these years, but you have such a gift. And I am so honored that you said yes to just do this, because when people start following you on Instagram, they're going to realize that to just nail you down for an hour was a really big deal. And who knows, maybe one of these days I'll be tagging along with you. And but either way, I'm just thrilled to be a supporter of World Help. And it's a blessing to all of us and to people around the world. Thank you, Noelle, for joining today. And I can't wait to tell you all the great things that are going to happen through the podcast.
Thank you so much, Kay.
Thank you for joining me today on Table Talks. For more content and information about upcoming episodes, please visit my website at kaywoodward.com. You can also explore other podcast links and resources there. Until next time.